This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
I'm David, and with Alison, my wife, we're the pastors here, and it's really, can I extend my welcome to you as well? So we're going to spend the summer looking at stories that Jesus told from the Bible. I'm preaching this week and next week, and then the following 2 weeks, other people will be telling some of their, sharing some of the stories that Jesus told. And today, I've entitled today's talk, The Savior, the Sinner, and Simon. And it's about how Jesus looks at us, looks at each of us, and what does he see? And what do we see in each other? And how we receive forgiveness from him. And this whole thing about who we are and our identity is quite an interesting area. The difference between what I see when I look at you and what's inside you. It reminds me of a story about the Queen. I got that ringing again in my mic, if you can get rid of that. The Queen went on a civic trip to Dover. It's a true story. And she was being shown round the town hall. And they come to a glass cabinet. In the glass cabinet was a beautiful gold ornate chain of office, the mayoral chain of office. And she turns to the mayor and she says, "That's beautiful," she says. "When do you wear that?" And he said, "Oh, on special occasions, Your Majesty." What did she think at that point? Am I not a special enough occasion for you? I know I look the part. I wonder what I feel like inside. And then she came north to a town hall in the north, and she was having lunch, and she was about to give a speech. And the Lord Mayor that she'd been sitting next to all the way through the lunch turned to her and said, I don't know how to introduce you. What do I say?" And she said, "Well, first of all, you say Your Majesty, and then after that, you say Ma'am. But I really wouldn't worry. You've been calling me love all the way through lunch." I'm David, and as I walk around, I've got an awareness of who David is, a sort of an inside David, which you don't see. And when I look at David, the bit that you don't see, some of it, sometimes I'm quite proud and pleased with it, and sometimes I'm pretty ashamed and fed up and frustrated with it. I also have an outside David, which you see. And I do my very best to present something acceptable to you. And if I thought there was something that you saw which you didn't like, and I could do something about it, I would. If you don't like my stripy shirt, I'll wear a plain one. Whatever. And if you've read my news mail, you'll know that Alice and I have been married for over 35 years and going out for another 5 years beyond that. And so we know each other's outside very well. And we know each other's inside a little bit better. And over those years, we've got to know each other, but there's still huge bits of inside me that she doesn't know, and vice versa. I wonder what's your inside person like? When you say your name to yourself, and then ask yourself, what do you see when you look inside? How do you see yourself? How happy would you be if other people could see you, the you? Let's think about it. So when you say, I say David, and I think of that person inside, you say your name. Is that a good person or a bad person? Is it a forgiven person or a person needing forgiveness? Who's inside? When you think about that person, are you ashamed of that person or are you pleased with yourself? Do you think, when you think of that inside person, I'm in charge of my life, or do you feel like somebody else is in charge of you? You can't get a handle on things. Do you feel like you're well off or poor? And then what about the outside self? Perhaps over lunch afterwards or in your small group this week or whenever you're meeting, you could, if you feel secure, you could turn to each other and say, "Tell me what you see about my outside self." In fact, we could do that now. Just look beside yourself. What do you reckon about the person next to you? Do they present well? Why are they looking at you in that funny way? It's a funny thing, isn't it? When we meet Jesus, what does he see? Does he see the outside bit, the well-presented bit? Does he see the inside bit that you see that and I don't? What does he see? I'd like you to find Luke chapter 7 in your Bibles. I'm giving you prior warning, by the way, that from September, we're not going to put the scriptures up on the screen. Let's not, can I not have that just yet? We're going to have lots of Bibles available for you to take or to buy, whatever. And I'd love you to have your own Bible and get familiar with it. And for some of you, you already do that. You love the book. For some of you, that's more difficult. I'd like you to push through and become and have a Bible and bring it with you, because it's. I'm convinced that you understand and you connect more with what God is saying to you if you see it written down in a way and a place that's familiar to you. So we're going to read Luke 7, some of it, and there are three. Let me give you a bit of context. Jesus has been in a conversation with the disciples of John, and the disciples of John have been sent by him to say, "Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus says, "Well, look around. What's going on?" And there's three stories about what Jesus was doing, and three stories about how he interacted with people who were not on the in crowd. They're on the outside. There's the centurion, who's part of the occupational army, and he heals his son, a servant. And then there's the woman whose son has died, and he raises him from the dead. But it's a woman, and women don't have much status in that society. And then this story that we're going to read is about a woman who is the sinner and how Jesus reaches out to her. So there'll be three characters in this story: Jesus and the woman who's known as the sinner and Simon. And as I read through the story, I'd like you to think about who you identify with. So it's Luke, which is one of the biographies about Jesus, and we're turning to chapter 7, and we'll start with verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." You notice that when he says he answered him, Simon was there thinking it in his head. And Jesus answers him. That must be a bit disconcerting. How did you know what I was thinking? "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, about 50,000 pounds, and the other 50 denarii, about 5,000 pounds. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave them the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You judged correctly," Jesus said. And then he turned towards the woman and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." And then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And the other guests began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, can you imagine hearing these words? "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and he's given to us because he loves us. And we thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the holidays, and we pray for all those of our family here who are on holiday, and we ask you to grant them a great rest and safe travel. And we thank you for this community of faith, and for the people who give regularly, week in, week out, and provide the finance for what we do. It's our act of offering to you, Lord, and we are grateful for what you've given us, and we gladly offer it to you. And I ask you to come as we look at these words and the way you behave with people, and help us to understand your calling and your words to us. I pray that today we will just leave the building with a better understanding of your love for us and how you see us. Would you transform our lives today through the worship, through your word, through prayer, through being in your presence. Amen. I love this story. It's a controversial story. So you've got Simon the Pharisee, who is an authority figure in his town, and a religious leader, which in that society had huge weight. And he wants to test out this radical troublemaker guy, Jesus. But he recognizes him as a teacher. He calls him teacher later on. He recognizes that Jesus has something about him. So to credit Simon, he brings him to his house. He says, come for lunch, and we'll have a couple of sandwiches and a Diet Coke. And he sends out the invitation. But in that society, they would have been not sitting on a table, but reclining on couches, so that the feet were the nearest thing to the outside, which is why the woman stands by his feet. But it would have been an open house, so people would have wandered in and out. There had been the guests who were invited and the host, and then people just wandering in off the street, having a look, seeing what's going on. The woman was a prostitute. That's the meaning of the words are used to describe her. And she must have had a meeting with Jesus before this. She knew who he was, and something about him and the way he accepted her had got her. And she wouldn't use these words, but she came to worship him. And she got wind of the fact that he was going to be having lunch at this guy's house. And so she turns up, and she stands in the corner in the shadows waiting for Jesus to come. And then Jesus lies down, and she comes and stands at his feet, and I don't think she knew what she was going to say or what she was going to do. She just had this ointment, and she just starts weeping. So many tears that it soaks his feet. Can you imagine what's going on in her heart when she looks at that inside person? And she despises it. And everybody else does as well. And yet Jesus doesn't. And then she lets down her hair, which is her way of saying, I doubt if she was thinking this, but in that society that was a way of saying, I'm a prostitute, I'm open for business. Terrible thing to do in that environment. Terrible thing to do. And wipes his feet and anoints him with oil. And Simon is saying, thinking to himself, well, that's a test. He can't even tell who's doing this to him. That he can't be a prophet. He can't be anybody special. And Jesus turns to him and lands one on him. And he asks him this question, this parable about this debt and repayment. And it doesn't really matter how much it is. It's just a lot. And that whether it's a huge amount that can't be repaid, or whether it's just quite a large amount that can't be repaid, Jesus, the guy forgives the debt of both of them. And then he says to Simon, you spotted that social blunder of that girl, but in our society, when anybody comes for lunch, the first thing you do is you wash their feet, and you then welcome them with a kiss, and then you anoint their head with oil. That's the standard thing. It'd be like, you come into my house, I'd open the door, I'd make you a cup of tea, and I'd shake your hand. He said, and Jesus turns the tables on Simon. You're the one making the blunder, not her, or as well as her. See, the overriding impression I get, this Jesus, this incredible person who can just be there with such poise that he can cope with these two extremes. And I just get the impression that he knows this woman really well. Not that he's known her for a while, but he sees her. Like I was saying at the beginning, he sees her. And that he knows Simon. He sees Simon. He knows the woman and he knows Simon. He each has this outside self. Hers is terrible. She'd do anything to change it. His is carefully manicured and he probably likes it. He also knows their inside self. He knows that the woman despises herself but is reaching out to him. And he knows that Simon is full of pride, but that there is a bit of him still asking questions, still wanting to make sure. But mainly, Jesus looks past the outside self. He looks past the inside self. And he sees the real woman. And he sees the real Simon. The people God intended them to be. He has a vision for who they are, which is probably beyond their own understanding. Let me read you a bit of Psalm 139. Psalm 139 goes like this. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Jesus looks past the outside, past the inside you, and he sees you in a way which you probably haven't seen yourself. He has a vision for you from eternity, for who you really are and who you could really be. And he loves you. There's a great book by Philip Yancey called What's So Amazing About Grace, and he has this famous phrase in it. There's nothing I can do to make him love me more. And there's nothing I can do to make him love me less. Just to be clear, that her declaration of love, this weeping over his feet, and his statement of her about her love and the fact that she's been forgiven much, that doesn't earn her forgiveness. That's not why she gets forgiven, because she loved much. It's the other way around. Jesus' forgiveness generates this expression of love. And he says her faith results in forgiveness. It's nothing that she's done to earn forgiveness. She hasn't, it's not the faith, it's not the acts of her life that have got her to the point of being forgiven. It's her faith that Jesus will forgive her. And that is offensive to Simon, deeply offensive to Simon, who has devoted his whole life to living in such a way as to earn forgiveness and righteousness. And some of us identify with that. We're always trying to be good because that's the way we are right before God, we think. This is a big difference between following Jesus and every other religion on the planet. I don't know if you're a Christian here today. If you're not, this is the difference about what we believe and what everybody else believes. And I'd ask you to consider it seriously. It's not what we do, but what has been done. You get it? It's not what we do that solves this problem. That's not what we do that gets us to heaven. It's what's been done for us. We've been forgiven. We've had all the rubbish cleaned out of our lives, being cleansed, being put right with God. It's not about what we can do, but about what Jesus has done on the cross for us. The woman can do nothing, and she knows it. Simon can do nothing, but he doesn't know it or doesn't believe it. You and I can do nothing. You can't buy it. You can't earn it like you can earn a David Cameron honor. We can't obey a set of rules to be good. We can't blow ourselves up as martyrs or fast and pray our way into heaven. Forgiveness only comes from the actions of Jesus when he died on the cross. Forgiveness only comes from the words of Jesus when he says, your sins are forgiven you. All we can do is have faith in Jesus, just like the sinner in this story. Who are you more like, the woman or Simon? Romans 3 says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. What he means by works of the law is a system of doing good things. So I asked you before what you thought about yourself. Whatever you think about yourself, it doesn't really matter. You and I both owe a debt that can't be repaid. And we simply have to get on our knees before Jesus and ask for his forgiveness. And we just have to repent. What the woman did was an overflow of her response to God's mercy. So the sequence is this. We become aware of sin and needing God's grace. Whether we present well like Simon or not, we become aware of needing his grace. And we put our faith in Jesus. And we receive his forgiveness. And we know we are accepted. And it produces this response of love of this woman, this incredible response. Can you imagine what she must have had, the compulsion she must have had to express her love to Jesus in front of all these people who knew who she was, probably clients amongst them. She probably looked terrible. Her mascara was running. Everything was wrong about it, and yet there was something so compelling about the fact that she'd been forgiven. And then Jesus says, go in peace. To hear those words, I'm forgiven and I can go in peace. So one of the reasons we worship like we do every week, we don't pour out perfume on Jesus' feet, but we do come with songs which express our thanks and our love. And there are many other ways of worshiping. The way you serve your community, the way you give money, the way you pray for people, the way you just spend time with Jesus on your own. We know, but we use songs to do it as well. We know we've been forgiven much, and so we respond as we raise our hands and as we kneel and as we weep. And as we sing our songs of thanks and declare our love for him. Let me conclude. How do I put this? Simon sees a sinner, this woman, and then he puts a full stop. And that defines who she is in his eyes, a sinner, beginning and end of story. And he expects Jesus to look at him as a well-behaved religious person and put a full stop, because he wants to be seen beginning and end as a well-presented, good, righteous person. But Jesus looks past all that at the woman, past her sin, past Simon's presentation. And he has a vision for a child of God, deeply loved, full of potential, redeemed from a sinful past. He looks at Simon, sees past that surface righteousness to a man in need of grace, but with too much pride for asking for forgiveness at that point. And so that's the call to you. And to me, let's not stand in our pride, looking at others and only seeing what the world sees, putting a full stop. Let's look with eyes of faith and see a person for whom Jesus turned everything upside down, a person for whom Jesus died and who can be set free, the person behind the appearance, behind what they think they are. Whether that appearance is all fine and dandy like Simon or full of sin and shame like the woman. If this is your church family, I call you to that, to look at people like that. Learn to look at people like Jesus did without that full stop that defines them. And how do you see yourself? I started by asking how you saw yourself. And whether you see yourself as the woman or as Simon or in some other way, I just encourage you to receive his forgiveness, whether this is the first time you've ever thought about it or the millionth time. and receive a freedom to live a new and empowered life. Can you imagine what it must have been like for her, and maybe subsequently for Simon, to be released from all that stuff and be given a new life? Jesus can and does look past your outside self, how you're presented. He looks past that, thank goodness, in my case. And he looks past your inside self too, because he has this vision of the person you were created to be. That's who he sees. That's who he's reaching out to. That's who he loves. And he loves you enough to have died for you. I just want to pray through that briefly and then see if the Lord wants to do something else. But I just want us to walk through that sequence I talked about earlier on and acknowledge what he can do in our lives. So would you pray with me? So, Lord, I come to you and I present to you the outside me. And I, with a bit of trepidation, present to you the inside me. And I put all of my life, the stuff I don't see that you see, before you. And I know it's not right. And so I ask you to forgive me. And I choose to repent and turn to you. And I hear your voice saying, I forgive you. And I hear your voice saying, go in peace. So I surrender unconditionally to your love. Help me worship you. Why don't we say together, I receive your forgiveness. I receive your forgiveness. Let's say that again. I receive your forgiveness. I don't think so. I think some of you don't believe it. Let's say it again. I receive your forgiveness. I bless what he's doing in you right now. I bless the healing that comes from knowing we're forgiven. I bless the restoration of identity that's going on. You're seeing yourself differently, some of you. I bless that. Lord, would you open people's eyes to see them the way you see them? Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Why don't you stand? We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us. But you've been sitting a long time. Stretch your legs, wouldn't you? Let's stand up. What we like to do is ask the Lord, what he loves to do is to come and give us what we call words of knowledge and prophecies and scriptures and things. So I'm just going to ask the Lord to do that. And if you, this is not an opportunity to preach or to share your favorite Bible verse. This is if you feel the Lord prompts you with a word of knowledge, some information that you didn't have before, or a picture or something, then just share it quickly and we'll collect a few and then we'll pray for each other. Alison, are you going to come and help me? Lord, I ask you to come, and I just pray that you will release your gifts to us. Would you speak to us for each other as you do? Would you release words of knowledge and discernment?
When David was praying, you hear me? Put that on. Okay, that's it. I just felt that there may be people here who have big buts in their minds, so they're going, but this, but that, but the other, and just really, really feeling they don't qualify for what we've just been hearing about. And I just sense that Jesus is saying to you right now, you do not have to wait a minute longer to hear those words, to receive my love, to receive, to know my forgiveness, to know my peace. Just come as you are right now. You do not need to wait any longer.
So if you have a... So some of you can't imagine what it's like to leave here and go in peace. And Colin was just saying it feels that you should be encouraged to receive prayer today so that you can. So a picture of going on a picnic near the bandstand in Rande Park, perhaps, and you feel challenged by God to say, as we surrender our lives to him, what it feels like putting crumbs on the picnic blanket, but actually as they land, they become a full banquet, because he can take what we give him and do amazing things with it. Is that right? That'll do. Anybody else? So if you can believe that Jesus forgives you, but perhaps you can't forgive yourself, then again, have somebody pray for you to learn the truth of the fact that you can forgive yourself. Do you know anything else? I felt that, anybody else? Any physical things or words of knowledge? Anybody got a pain in their body that they didn't have when they came in? Doesn't belong to you, might belong to somebody else. I felt the Lord wanted us to pray for healing of the mind. And I think what that means is two things. One is for those of you who've got mental health issues, you suffer from depression or things like that, we'd love to pray for you. It's as real an illness as anything else. And secondly, for those of you who suffer from migraines or serious repeating headaches, or other physical conditions of the brain type of thing. We'd love to pray for you too, if that's, if those, I just sense the Lord wants to pray for those today. Sometimes he does that. We have a theme sometimes. Anything else? Okay, if you want to respond to any of those things, I've forgotten them all now, but if you would like us to pray for you this morning, the way we do this today is that we're going to invite you to come to the front, and then I'll get somebody nice to come and lay hands on you and pray for you. They won't shout at you. They won't preach at you. They'll just ask the Holy Spirit to come and bless you. So if you'd like to respond to any of those things, please come forward now. Or anything else. If you come today with a broken leg or something, we'd love to pray for you. Just can you move up to the front here so people can get behind you? Just take a step forward. Two steps forward. Great. Anybody else? If you're a regular person here, you're in a small group and you know how to pray for people, would you come and... You're the ministry team? Okay. Come and choose somebody and come and minister to them and pray for them. If you guys just put your hands out and I'll ask the Holy Spirit to come and then somebody will eventually get to you. Just be patient. Come around the front of them so that they can... Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and bless these people who are responding to your your invitation. Would you fill them with your Spirit now? Would you come? I need more people. Just push through so that you can come in front of them. They won't mind. And what they'll do is they'll just say, what would you like us to pray for? And they'll have a little conversation and then they'll pray for them. They don't have to tell them. So that's about as, I think that's the end, I think. So thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. I hope you have a great week. God bless. Go in peace.